Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 7th of February, again close to Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you sound all chipper and excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
You okay
Nothing
tonight?
More exciting than Valentine's Day.
Yeah, this is, you're sounding a little bit, you know, not as excited as usual.
Well, if I was in the 6th grade, I'd be really excited.
You would.
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal when you were a kid.
Right. Yeah, those little horrible tasting candies. Remember those little chalky hearts? In the box? No,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are still good.
What flavor
was
that?
Messages on them.
Yeah, a little love you, you know, be my Valentine. What was that flavor? It was like a Tums.
It was a Tums.
In sixth grade. Anyway, we're streaming live here. And, of course, you go over to the DH Unplugged chat room if you feel like berating us or telling us nice things over there. It's on the right-hand side of the DH Unplugged site, dhunplugged.com, of course. We got to start with talking about a big congratulations for the 900th episode of No Agenda. 900.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot of episodes. I think the Disciplined Investor, we have like, I think, 450, but you do two a week. Did you always do two a week?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I think it was about a year in before we started doing two a week, and then we started talking about doing three a week, and then realize that's not going to happen.
That's tough. It's very, especially you do 3 hours or 2.5 hours.
Well, it didn't start off that long. I mean, the first shows were like an hour, and then it was, you know, just slowly kept creeping to the natural length, which turned out to be 3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. 3 hours, 33 seconds or something like that. Anyway, let's talk about the Super Bowl. Did you watch the game?
Of course.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I can tell you something. It was a lot of people in the stands, it seemed, and a lot of people were at the party were like, all right, third quarter, we're done. We're out of here.
Apparently some famous people had left at halftime.
I think Wahlberg left.
Yeah, supposedly. That's funny. That's a great idea. Leave and then miss what was probably the greatest Super Bowl in the history of the game. Very disappointing.
There was a couple of catches there and a few things that were just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. But what about the commercials? I usually am very much interested in watching the commercials for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, the comedic value, you know, what's going on in terms of companies and all that. I mean, the only thing I remember from the whole thing was the Tide commercials. Was there anything else?
I don't remember too many. I watched the commercials in bunches. And, you know, I think that whole commercial, let's watch the commercials in an era where we don't want to watch commercials at all. I think it's, I don't know. I didn't think they got any of these guys got their money's worth.
There was an interesting gag. I don't know if you read about this, but there was something about the stories going around that rating the worst ad of the Super Bowl. And it was this 30-second spot of a potato with the word advertisement written on it and like maybe marker of some sort. And it was, you know, you said it's 30 seconds of this potato. That was it. Nothing else. There's no company mentioned, nothing. And it was, you know, in this article, one of the best and most brilliant commercials in the world, a company called Cards Against Humanity, which makes this rather funny but very off-color game where you say strange things, like you have to fill in the blank kind of thing. And I don't know if you have played that game. It's kind of funny, fun. But, you know, this whole thing about this whole commercial and what they paid for it, and can you believe this? Turns out it was a total BS story. It was a gag. However, just by saying it was the worst Super Bowl ad and you know, you got to see this ridiculousness, and all, made a lot of people go look at it and read the story about who put it on and what company could possibly be doing this, giving them a lot of free advertisement.
That would do it.
Yeah, a great idea.
It should have been Geico.
It was a great idea, but you got to get that game, Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some finance, some financial, some markets, some economics, some money stuff. So it looks like a surprise that the Eurozone is in trouble again. Now we have the potential for Italy and Frexit. So France leaving the, you know, you have some votes going on. The populist movements and parties are gaining momentum, it seems. And this has caused more of a problem because, you know, what would be left? You have Germany, which would be the core. We talked about this last week a little bit with the euro. And you had the, you'll have Greece and a few of the other, Portugal and a few of the other gang in there. But it's this whole idea that there could be, the DH plug doesn't work. I had to inspect the website to get the link to the page. Somebody's saying that the DH plug doesn't work. Well, oh well. Not sure what's happening there. Got a brand new server, by the way. Should be working pretty well. Oh. But we did see that European markets got hit on that. And
a little bit.
Yeah, this was yesterday on Monday. 1% here or there. Our markets held up pretty well. And then there was today it was they kind of start out looking good, but then it was down. So anyway, what else is going on? And you hear anything around that area? What else is happening? The excitement over this elections that are happening?
Well, everybody thinks there's going to be a couple of interesting outcomes. Marie Le Pen would be the one that's the most interesting because she could upset the apple cart by herself. They're planning on her not winning because it has to be a runoff election. So she's going to run against about five other guys, and then they'll be the top two people. She'll be the top one, but the second person will collect all the votes of the other guys and supposedly can beat her. That's kind of what they're banking on in France. The rest of these countries, I don't see anything really happening. I mean, it's possible the Netherlands might do something, but they're pretty, they seem pretty calm about it. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be as disastrous as the EU likes to believe. Although they can get, you know, if they go a little nutty, they could force people to want to get out. It's a real problem.
Who's going to force people out?
Well, if they become a bunch of, you know, fascists in the EU with their anger, I mean, you have to watch this Donald Tusk guy went off after the United States thinking that we're the big number one enemy we're going to have to deal with. I mean, these guys are crazy. They're a bunch of bureaucrats that they're really protection. They want to protect their turf.
Interesting. But they are kind of fascist over there already, or at least they're not necessarily, I mean, the whole thing is, it's a mess. We've talked about this, a mess from the beginning. There's nothing good that came out of this except for Germany, but we'll see. But we'll see how it affects the rest of the world because nobody seems to care about anything these days.
I noticed the VIX is under 12.
I know. It just can't.
You'd think it would be up.
You would think it would be up. 15 is about the natural level. But these days with the combination of the Fed and the central banks around the world being a safety net, and then the Trump tax issue potentially. You know, by the way, speaking about Trump and the VIX and the tax issues, there was somebody on a show this evening that I was watching saying that, you know, it's taking a lot longer than we expected for Trump to get all of his things in play.
All of his people and orders?
But all of his, you know, all the things that they were going to do, like the tax issues and the, you know, getting rid of Obamacare and all that. It's been there 2.5 weeks.
What
could he do?
What is he supposed to do everything in the first month of being in office? Then what does he do the rest of the time? Golf?
Well, we know somebody who did that. Obama did a lot of golf.
But so they're just, you know, they had the one thing with the new education secretary I thought was an interesting situation because you don't see, I don't think it's ever happened before where the vice president had to come in with a tiebreaker.
There's a lot of first things that are happening. With this whole, I mean, it's a lot of new things happening. And he was tweeting tonight about how, you know, it's the longest time in history that there hasn't been a cabinet installed at this point of a presidency.
I wonder if that's true.
Well, that's another discussion entirely. And I do wonder, by the way, have we reached peak Trump already? It's peak oil.
So what does peak Trump mean to you, that we're finally sick of the guy?
Yeah, well, to a point that it's kind of like everybody was all excited about it. And
so we're going to roll our eyes when he tweets anything?
Yeah. I mean, he's tweeting at 6 a.m. He's tweeting at 11 o'clock at night. You know, things about, I mean, he's attacking newspapers. You know what
he
said?
I think he needs an intervention.
he's He's talking directly to what he said something yesterday. Don't believe any of the negative polls. It's fake news.
Yeah.
Negative poll is fake news.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's
crazy.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
All right. So let's talk about the Fed. Seems like the Fed, which came out with a commentary last week with no rate hike, not going to do anything, but they're growing more hawkish. Now, first of all, we've seen less and less of them. We've heard finally, you know, you think this would never end, but the Fed is, we don't have the parade of Fed speakers as much anymore. Today we had a few, but many of them are becoming much more hawkish, much more aligned with, hey, you know what? There's going to be a rate hike in March. I'm not quite sure if that's going to happen, but you know, assuming markets don't collapse, assuming that bonds don't go crazy, assuming that currencies stay within a range and everything is just hunky-dory, you know, the Fed would maybe be inclined to move. They said they're going to do 3 rate hikes this year. Do you think they're going to be able to do that and have the backbone to do it? Last year was 4. They only did 1.
Yeah, I think they can do maybe 2. Maybe. I don't think they're going to do one soon. They'll probably do one maybe I don't know. I have no idea. Well, I know is if the bond market collapses this year, like many think it will, myself included, they're not going to do any after that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they can't.
So maybe they should do one in March. That'll be the last one. Then they have something to pull back.
Yeah, they could take it off. Oh, you know, things we're gonna cut again by a quarter point. That'd be pretty funny. But the market has continued to be resilient. Last week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was ever so slightly down. NASDAQ and S&P were positive. This all came, really, the markets were down all week. But this came after the payroll report on Friday, where we saw a 4.8% unemployment rate with 225,000 jobs added. And at first, there was a little bit of a stutter. Markets were a little concerned about the fact that wage growth had slowed, but it's still positive. Hourly earnings in January was a 0.1% gain compared to about a 0.3% gain on from estimates and analyst consensus.
Well, 0.1% on the minimum wage, I guess, is a couple pennies.
Yeah, that's nothing. But I put a wage growth chart up here, and it was kind of, you could see that, we did this from 1981, but you could see that there's been even though there's a lower point from where it was. We saw back in 81, wage growth was at what, 12% on a year-over-year basis. That's pretty impressive.
Yes.
And then we have
kind of bounced around for a couple of years pretty high.
Yeah.
But it was stayed at least around between 3 and 8% until 2000. The dot-com collapse brought it down to 0. And then as it tried to climb back, the housing crisis dropped it down minus 6.
But what's happened? But look what's happened since. It's been this ever.
It's kind of bouncing around 4.
Yeah, but it's been in a downtrend. I mean, you could just see if you could draw a line across the top there. It's definitely
That one spike. If you take that spike out, the 2013 spike, to remove that, it's kind of like not much of a downtrend.
Well, where are we now? We're at under 4%. So on a year-over-year basis. Again, still positive, so that's good. You can see these charts, by the way, over on DH Unplugged, where we have lots of other information. You can follow John Dvorak on Twitter from just that site, clicking a button at The Real Dvorak. And myself, Andrew Horowitz, over on Twitter. And these charts and all this good stuff you can find there as well. Well, crude oil came in with a huge, how do you say that word? Huge?
Huge.
Huge. A huge build in price, in the price crater. We saw that there was almost 15 million barrel build in inventories.
Hmm.
That's 5 times more than we thought. 5 times, or 3 times more, excuse me, 3 times more than we thought. And it was probably about 4 times more than we've seen in the last few weeks. Now, this is at a time when supposedly OPEC is slowing down production. But as
it doesn't make sense, does it?
No, but oh my God, nobody's using gas, nobody's using oil, nobody's refining, what's happening? One of the things that did happen was that we see the rig count has increased over the last several weeks, and that's because the prices are higher. right? As prices go higher for oil, all of a sudden the rigs, especially, you know, here in the U.S., they're like, you know what? I can make some money now. So what they do is they turn their rigs on, they start pumping oil, and all of a sudden they go to the point. So we're at this equilibrium, well, not exactly equilibrium, but equilibrium where higher oil prices mean you're all of a sudden going to see more rigs come on. More rigs come on means that we're going to have more inventory. More inventory means lower prices, which means then they start slowing down the rigs. When they slow down the rigs, the prices go up a bit because less inventory and so on and so on. So we're at a point here somewhere in this 50-ish range that looks like that oil will stay for a while. I don't see any reason why not.
Yeah. Well, that'd be good. Wouldn't hurt to stabilize a few of these numbers.
Yeah.
Bouncing around.
Yep.
But I also those are the dollars dropping again. Now it's down to a $1.12 in the euro.
It was a $1.12 or $1.07.
Take a look. It's $1.12 as we speak.
I got the euro at 106.
I'm looking at a $1.12.
Well, okay. What where are you finding that?
I'm finding on the FinViz, which keeps it pretty accurate to the minute.
The euro.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the the Japanese yen.
Yeah.
The yen. Okay, it's a $1.068. Okay, yeah, it's stable.
Yep.
Sorry.
Hasn't moved very much. It's actually come down a bit.
The one I really like though is the pound. Man, that thing is just staying down there like a rock.
Yeah, we got to go over there. Got to plan.
That's what I'm thinking. $1.24. I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah, we got to do like a DH unplugged, no agenda kind of trip.
I saw a $1.40 once in my life, but this $1.24. Wow.
And the other problem is that when it's $1.40, not only that, prices over there are higher to begin with, just the general cost.
Yes, and then when it's like $1.60, which you used to see,
yeah,
it's like you can't afford to even stand in the street.
Yep. I've been there when it was pretty high, and it was ugly. Now, I did see here, by the way, this is a coincidence or maybe just a point of reference, which is only a very small sample of information, that there was a significant slowdown in many areas of businesses in Florida during the month of January. It seems that this came from several different people in the retail and restaurant business, car business. It seems that there was a great month in December, just an incredible month in December. And January was just terrible. So I'm not sure if this is happening elsewhere. But it's something's odd going on. I don't know if there's a reason for it.
Well, you're there.
I mean, it's not the weather. It's not. There is some discussion that there was a concern from certain areas, like in cars, that if they had to buy a car, they may have to provide certain documentation about their, you know, tax ID or their tax ID number of some sort. And some people said they didn't want to do it after the first of the year because maybe there'll be some new rules on immigrants, et cetera. And maybe somebody said that, well, the Canadians didn't come down because the dollar was too high or too low, possibly in January. None of these really make any sense to me.
Well, Florida is a major tourist attraction worldwide.
Right.
So maybe some of these restrictions are being, you know, thought of as negative to the economy.
And people just decide not to do anything, not to move.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, so we're talking about the things that may restrict people from coming into the U.S. and possibly people and items maybe getting more costly and something going on. Well, I found this really fascinating chart, the cost of the border tax, particularly on some companies. One of the things that we are also looking at is the amount of money that companies could make and profit as compared to the potential losses from a border tax. So in other words, the profitability of a company due to the fact that there may be an upcoming tax cut versus the amount of money they'll lose due to a border tax. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're talking about that being possibly a wash, or as you say up that way, a wash. Put an R in the word.
Could be.
Wash. You put an R in the word wash.
People are always looking for these rationales. You can probably dream one up for everything. That sounds like one.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting chart, again, over on DH Unplugged, of what would be required in terms of price increase per vehicle that would be needed to recoup the estimated gains gains under the border adjustment tax. So we're dealing with primarily or only car companies right now. But look at this. Jaguar Land Rover. Has to
Have to jack the price up by $18,000.
I don't know why they in particular. It's an English company, right? I mean, I don't understand why that would be so much of an incredible differential. Maybe it's due to, I don't know, there's going to be a higher tax there? Or maybe they're...
I have no idea what the deal is, why it would be that high.
And Mercedes is $6,000. You would think, I mean, a Land Rover is very expensive. Yes, a Jaguar is expensive, but so is a Mercedes.
Mercedes is more expensive.
Yeah. Volkswagen would have to go $8,000.
So the way they have it here, Volvo is more expensive than Mercedes.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, this chart.
And I
question this chart.
Well, we'll have to talk to Baum and Associates. But it looks like the winner in all this, because they make all their, they make everything here, is Tesla. Right? Once again.
It's already expensive enough.
Once again, Ford comes in the bottom. Then you got GM, Honda, Fiat Chrysler, Nissan, Toyota, Hyundai. But again, I don't understand why there's this, I mean, a 20, if you just simply say a 20%, there's got to be something else going on here with Jaguar and Land Rover. There's got to be something else that.
Or Volvo for that matter.
Yeah. I don't know why that would have to be. It's because it's just talking about the border adjustment tax. Unless the
border. Well, we do make a lot of BMWs in this country, so that may account for the low BMW number. But I don't think we make any Mercedes in the United States.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe the same thing with Jaguar. That everything is overseas, so they have to totally make up for it. And $18,000, that would if there's a 20% tax. Yeah, I'd have to read more about this. I just thought it was an interesting.
Yeah, this
chart.
Is no good. This chart it stinks.
Yeah, throw it away. Don't even look.
And Volvo, by the way, Volvo is a very funny company because there is, from all practical purposes, they're a Swedish company that designs cars for California almost exclusively. All the designs are designed for California. I was at the factory, and they tell you this. That their whole business is to export mostly to California, where Californians like this type of car, which is it's very safe, quasi stylish, generally speaking, never stylish, but more recently. And they need to be in Sweden to make the car because they have these strict rules about making the car super safe, and you couldn't do that in this country because the company would be bought out by somebody else. The next thing you know, they're making crap. Even though Volvo's owned by Indians now, I don't see why it's on the list with his numbers.
All right, so we're going to scrap this and just say it's garbage. And what everybody says these days is fake news. Fake news. Just total BS. Crap. You with me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all in.
I can see that. I mean, I can see the exuberance has really been growing through the show here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting. I'm looking forward to Valentine's Day. That's what
I see that. I see that. Hey, speaking of Valentine's Day and times that you get gifts and things of that nature, I was at an event recently and they were telling me and they're going on and on about this. They're calling it new, but they said, have you ever tried the Jack Daniel's Sinatra series, or Sinatra mix, or Sinatra blend.
Very famous blend.
Yeah, very famous. But have you tried it?
It is. It's very famous. I was at a Jack Daniel's specialty website a few months back, and they talk about a couple of things that Jack Daniel's likes to do. And one of them is this Sinatra blend that I think was a limited edition, and it was done specifically for Sinatra, and it was only a few barrels. And they also have Barrel Select, which comes out every so often, very rarely, but it comes out and it's very expensive. And these are all above and beyond the so-called Gentleman Jack, which is a version of Jack Daniel's that's supposed to be a little more high-end. But these things are really pricey.
Yeah, it's like $160 per bottle. Yeah.
Yeah, for, yeah. Mm.
For
I actually saw the bottle of the Sinatra last time I went to the local, we have a liquor store chain in California called Beverages and More. And they had about three or four of these specialty Jack Daniels. I've never seen them before in person. But they had the Sinatra.
But you never tried it?
No, I'm not going to. I can't afford it.
Well, you could taste it maybe at someone's house.
I don't know anyone who's ever bought it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to buy some. I'm going to have to. Which, by the way, if you want us to, if you feel compelled to
maybe somebody can buy some for us.
If anybody feels compelled, you know, to pony up for a bottle of this, you can either donate to the show. There's a link right on the website. You can, if you could find a way to send it to either of us, we'll be happy to provide you.
That
an
would be a problem.
Yeah, we'll find an address.
A vial would work.
A little Tupperware, a little container full. Here's some news. Jeremy Siegel. You know Jeremy Siegel?
The name rings a bell.
He's a Harvard professor. He's he's a permabull. I mean, a permabull. And he's the guy that wrote many years ago, you know, Dow 20,000 and Dow, you know, going to here. And he's,
that guy. Yes.
Yeah. He was, all right, let's give him credit.
He was right about the Dow 20,000. Right.
Eventually, it got there.
So, you might as well say Dow 40,000 right now, because eventually it will hit 40,000, maybe in 25 years.
And he can get continued airtime until then. Make it big enough so you can get airtime.
Yeah, go crazy.
Yeah, because then you just have, you know, oh, it's going to get there. When you say, well, it could be another 2 years, but, and then he just keeps on getting booked on programs. Anyway, he says, which I thought this was fascinating, that the markets could see a drop of 10% due to the current level of protectionism that is starting to seep its way into various economies. And I think
various economies, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, protectionism. We have protectionism, border tax here in the United States, really. But that's going to probably cause other problems around the world with other companies having slapping tariffs on their products, on their, you know, on their imports and, you know, causing all sorts of problems.
I mean, how does he know that's not going to be a benefit? I mean, right now we have trouble getting exports past the number of borders. There's already border taxes on our goods. And we got the whole thing cocked up anyway by, you know, having to move a lot of our manufacturing facilities to other countries because it's just so much cheaper. It's kind of a version of protectionism.
Yeah, it is. But that also helps out those economies. So now if we're going to start having a...
Why should we worry about that?
Well, that's what's going on right now. You know, who cares about everybody else? But, you know, for many years, the whole notion of the stock market and companies making more money has been at any cost. Do it any way you can. So if you're going to make more money and if you want to make more money, well, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to go out and you're going to find the cheapest way to do it. And you're going to go to other countries around the world. You're going to, you know, chintz on products and change the bottle size ever so slightly and do a variety of things to get a better deal. And by doing so, it's allowed for companies to profit, at historic levels around the world, and particularly in the United States, using cheap labor outside. Until somebody gets a little bit worried that, oh, we're using, you know, cheap labor in some kind of a sweatshop in Indonesia, or, you know, that China is dropping their prices on their steel, and, you know, that's not fair to our steel companies. Meanwhile, everybody else is buying the steel from China. So now all of a sudden that's going to change. And what that's going to do is...
Well, it's not going to change. A couple of things. One, it's not going to change overnight. And two, these products, I have to complain about this. You know, so I've got this keyboard. It's made by Lenovo. It used to be an IBM-made keyboard. And it has a little track point on it. So I like to use that kind of a keyboard. And so I've had this thing for maybe 2 years. I've had plenty of keyboards for longer than that. But within a couple of years, all the paint on the caps keys, the individual caps keys, this paint is all missing because it just chips off because it's so poorly made. So you can't see any letters on the keyboard. You have to know where you're typing. It's just junk. I think it's about time we stopped buying this crap.
Well, what are you going to buy?
But there's nobody left in this country. We're having a Keytronic. Nobody makes keyboards in the United States anymore. You're fine with this?
As long as I get a decent product. I just got a new keyboard. It's a piece of junk.
It looks decent when you first buy it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just another pet peeve.
Now, I need you to talk about this whole thing. So you track the whole technology side of things, this invasion of privacy, this whole Vizio thing. You've been tracking this, right?
A little bit.
Oh, is this allowed?
What? What specifically do you have a complaint about?
That they are tracking and collecting viewing habits from 11 million devices without the knowledge or consent of the people watching them?
Yeah, that's what happens.
And they only have to pay $2.2 million and probably keep all the the data.
The data is worth money.
Right. And do they, I didn't see anything in this that they had to stop doing this or at least change it. And this is just Vizio. Who knows where else? And this is the whole benefit of cord cutting for companies that can now learn more about your buying habits, and understanding about who you are. I mean, so it was only for a while, only if you gave your information could people follow you around. But now it's like everywhere, as long as it's plugged in, they can figure out how often I'm doing my wash with these smart washing machines.
That would don't get one.
I'm not getting one.
You can, there's plenty of ways, since most of this stuff has to go over the internet and usually through a browser mechanism. There's other things you can get. If you buy all the anti-spyware and antivirus products, especially the anti-spyware stuff, because these are spyware for the most part, and also the cookie tracking cookies and all this other stuff, you can run these scanners and it gets rid of all those cookies. They don't know anything after you run a couple of these programs. Now, most people, of course, don't do that. But I think it's about time people started, protecting themselves.
This is what we need protests for. This is what we need protests for. Not all the other crap that goes on and makes
cookies
a mess of
protests.
Yes, exactly. No more cookies. No more tracking.
I get the biggest kick out of some of these websites that have they produce a cookie policy. I don't know what it is on my machine in particular that tells them the cookies aren't going to stick. But they always they put a big message up. Oh, we need cookies. And the reason we need them, I just got this from British newspapers do this constantly. We need it for the good of our business. And you're hurting our business if you don't turn your cookies on, if you don't do this, if you don't do that. I'm thinking bull crap. It's not hurting anybody's business. What are they tracking me for? And usually the stuff they're trying to sell me, I don't think I've ever bought anything from one of these ads that I can think of ever.
Well, I mean, if you don't have the cookies, first of all, a lot of things won't work. Second of all, the other problem is from a site owner, we could start, for example, pop things up, a banner or whatever. So we have a cookie policy on DH Unplugged. And if there's things if things pop up or if things join this newsletter or something like that comes up, then what happens is that the cookie says, hey, just do this once every 3 days that this particular person comes in. Now, of course, if they go, even if you go over to another browser, though, you're still going to get the cookie, it's going to put on the new browser, but it will pop up. It doesn't know where you are in all places. So, you have multiple browsers, it will do different things. But I think the whole cookie thing is just to keep track of it. Now, it can be abused, right?
Yes.
And that's what happened here. They're abusing the information without telling you about it. Now, if they told you about it, I guess if you turned your TV on and said, hey, by the way, we're collecting this stuff and, you do the, or I agree to the terms of service. And you tick that off the first time you set up your TV, well, you're done.
Yeah, that's coming.
Yeah, it is. We will be tracking everything that you do, where you go, what you watch.
That's because they're desperate. They don't know how to sell some of this junk they're trying to sell us.
Well,
I don't see that any of this is working if it's used for marketing. I just don't see it.
Well, I mean, I think if people know, for example, if people are watching a particular show and on average, where are they stopping, then they'll put certain ads at certain places. I don't know. There's definitely a need to collect information on how people are shopping.
The rationale for this has always been it's always supposed to be for your benefit. It's supposed to be for your benefit, and it's supposed to give you ads you want, as if you want ads at all.
Yeah.
But these are ads you want. This is what you want. You're interested in this. We figured it out because we've been following you around, and now we've figured this is the one thing you want, and then they produce the product. They put it up there in an ad. First, they got to sucker somebody into buying the ad. And so the ad comes out, and it's something you supposedly would want. And it'll be something like a mug or something stupid or a carburetor. I mean, they never get it right. And in that regard, that they just wasted an ad.
All right. Well, let's agree that we – excuse me. Nobody likes ads, but – sorry. Excuse me. Choking on the ads here.
Well, I know we have a cookie policy.
Yes. I'm choking on my cookies.
Everybody does. You have to do that, but it doesn't mean you have to like it.
Right.
Even if you do it yourself.
Right. And the other thing is, when I remember the first time that I was looking for something online and I was just searching something. I was like, you know, I want a particular recording device or something like that. For the next like forever, okay, it's like, wow, how did everybody know that I was looking for these things? They were popping up all over my screen. But and by the way, that this goes beyond the fact that most websites these days are impossible to even get through. They've really mucked them up pretty well with the boxes and the pictures and the moving things and all. It's like, enough. I just want to see what the information is. I don't need all this other crap. Moving movies in it.
Let's agree. The internet should be scrapped.
Yeah, let's. Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's talk about fake news for one moment here. So it seems that Facebook is launching a campaign to crack down on fake news in France. I don't know why in France is the only place they're doing this. Why are they doing this?
I didn't see this.
Yeah, well, they're cracking. They have a new campaign to crack down on fake news in France. I guess it's because they said it's because the country's presidential election is coming out later this year. I guess they were very much upset about this whole item of this fake news that got President Trump elected. I guess that's what they're going on, their thesis, and this whole fake news thing. So Reuters reporting that the social network announced on Monday that it will work with 8 French media companies to fact check and filter news articles that have been reported by users. So therefore, what's going to happen is that somebody reads something, they don't like what it says, it's against their political views or against something else, and they're going to send it off to this one of the 8 fact-checking, or to Facebook, and they're going to send off these fact-checkers to see if it's good or not. How are they going to handle the amount of requests that come in? Can you imagine?
The idea is beyond me. The implementation's not possible.
Impossible.
This is not even doable. You just have to find some other way to deal with if you want to call whatever fake news is, depends on how you define it.
The interesting thing is, if you really back this up, the question that has to be asked about this is, when did Facebook or other social media become a source of news? That's the thing that really just amazes me. Is it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, why are we getting our news from somewhere that may have been a image that was generated and, you know, some kind of Photoshop done to it, or a news item that somebody, you know, gives you a few lines, because most people don't read past the first paragraph, right? I don't understand. So I think it's, by the way, laziness. That's my...
Well, yeah, well, people are stuck. You always ask me what my PC Magazine column is.
Yes, what is it?
This one this week is is Facebook evil, based on the British situation that took place a few days ago when some woman was hounded to kill herself. And yeah, because people that are Facebook addicts, if you want to call them that, I don't even use it at all, so I feel good about saying this. You see them, they sit there on Facebook all day. They're on Facebook. They open the computer, they're on Facebook. And they just sit there and they just dig around on Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. And I do a little bit too much of that on Twitter, but the Facebook people are completely out of control. And so it makes it easier to just stay there and have somebody feed you some news stories that you might agree with, because it's all in your milieu. And so now you're getting your news from Facebook.
Not only are you getting your news from Facebook, but you're only getting it from people that you're friends with, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, it could be
totally
skewed,
full of crap.
It's totally full of crap and skewed in probably the areas that you want to, you know, that are agreeable to you. And
yeah,
and the whole notion of this is so stupid. It's just terrible that it's come to this. And because news has become, well, it's the same thing as everything else, right? It's all publicly traded stocks, and it's all about getting the eyeballs and then getting the advertisements in front of it and making more money from it. It's all the same thing. And Facebook has a desire to do the same thing. The other problem with this news and information on Facebook, it's so much of it is just regurgitated over and over and over. Like, I'm like, did I see this before? I think I've seen this before. You know, how many times are we going to see the same video or the same meme come out, or news item, you know, over and over again? And sometimes it takes months for it just to resurface out of nowhere, like it's new information.
Yes, this happens too much.
It's ridiculous. It's the same stuff over and over. Away with it. done with it. Now, I think, like, for example, a Twitter where you can actually get a feed from a particular news source, whether you like that news source or not, is a much better way of going to get your news. It's kind of the modern day RSS feed.
It works a little bit sometimes, depends. There was an event that took place the other day that I couldn't find on Twitter. I figured there might be some instant reporting going on or some streaming, but there was nothing. I had to go to the regular newspapers, and it wasn't anything there. It was breaking. Not all breaking news shows up. And this, I can remember what it was.
But here's what the reason why news is so crappy. You and I have talked about this for years now. There's no verifiable sources in news items. You don't know anymore what's news or not. I picked up this story today about MetLife. You can click that little button there. It's on DH Unplugged in the show notes for this episode. But if you kind of look through here, it's this, you know, lawsuit. MetLife failed to pay workers $50 million in overtime. And this lawsuit alleges that MetLife, da-da-da-da-da, and the complaint was filed, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't talk about a spokesman for New York-based MetLife said the company officials haven't seen the lawsuit so that they cannot comment. But there's no, there's this little bitty article here that seems to be this, you know, a major point that MetLife is screwing their workers. It's just like nothing. It's like
it came through the Associated Press.
The big story. .ap.org. I mean, first of all, the page is littered with, look at this page. First of all, there's a giant ad on top. Second, there's some stuff on the right. Then they have their Facebook and their Twitter stuff. And then all on the bottom is content feeds that they get paid for.
And talk about old stories that it says the latest. Trump's nominee for Army Secretary drops out. That's not the latest.
Yep. Terrible. This is just crap. This is from AP. This is AP's big, right? I mean, they're
yeah, they're the biggest. It's the club. It's like the club of newspapers.
Terrible.
And then they have a bunch of this ad content you might like, which are just link bait. Old kind of link bait that's produced by God knows who.
And would you agree that there's more link bait on this page than there is actual AP?
Yes, there is. I agree. There's more link bait at the bottom. It's produced by Taboola, promoted links. So they have sponsored links and they have Associated Press links and they have all these ad content links with all these compelling things you want to click on. The most popular last names in each state. Oh, well, I'll be a sucker and I'll click on that because I want to know what's the most popular last name
in
my state. And it turns out to be an ad for Ancestry.com.
Naturally.
And the most popular name in California is Garcia.
Ah.
And then Hernandez and then Lopez.
That's important. Well, that's important.
We'll see where that state's going. let's see what it is for Florida. I can barely read this thing. Let me just pump it up.
I'm sure it's not anyway, much
so this
different.
Is that, what's the most popular surname in your state?
If you look to the right, they have a trending now area. And if you just hover over it, for manage migraines with mobile apps. But if you hover over it, let's see, it goes to healthgrades.com, healthgrades.com. All these are healthgrades.com. That's the trending stuff.
Your most popular names in Florida are Smith, which makes sense if you think about it. Williams and Johnson. Which is the same as Alabama, by the way, exactly the same, and Georgia. Those three states all Smith, Williams, and Johnson. In Louisiana, it changes a little bit. It's Williams, Smith, and Johnson. So Williams is at the top of the list.
And
same in Arkansas. There's a lot of Williams and Smith and Johnson.
And the thing is, AP just made money on this, and Ancestry.com just paid for this.
Yes, they did.
Oh, we have lots more to talk about. Let's see here. Disney out with earnings. They beat on the EPS, but revenue is light. Shares were kind of low. This seems to be a bit of a trend here. Let's get over to, we talked about donations, but if you do want to donate over on DH Unplugged, we would very much like it. We're going to put it into our Jack Daniel's Sinatra Series kitty. And we'll taste
it. You really want to try that stuff,
don't
you?
And we'll taste it on the air or on the show. Let's see here. You can follow John C. Dvorak over at The Real Dvorak on Twitter. Of course, listen to the No Agenda show on Thursdays and on Sundays, and The Disciplined Investor as well on Sundays. We have a winner for the closest to the pin for Facebook, which ended on last Friday.
Yeah, so I really missed that one.
Yeah. You're a little bit aggressive on the upside. So the but you know who the closest was? The audience. The average price per entry was 131.13. It closed at 130.98.
It's funny. The average would win.
The average would win. The winner, though, was Christopher M. Congratulations to you, where you're 29 cents away from the actual finishing price for Facebook. You're about 0.22% away. Leonard B. came in second, the runner-up. Unfortunately, if you're second in this game, you lose. But we did say
You have to win.
Yeah, you have to win. We sent an official T-shirt over to Christopher, the DH Unplugged coveted T-shirt with a nice little logo on there with DH Unplugged. And, of course, Christopher will be in for the annual Closest to the Pin Cup, which happens at the end of the year.
Yeah, he will have been, he now is qualified for the Invitational.
That's correct. The next one we have open is Netflix, now open for entries for the next week or so. Guess your price on Netflix. Go over to DH Unplugged, click on the Closest to the Pin, top right, you'll see where it is. Just click the where it says Netflix. And what you could do is you could enter your price on the closing date, which is all listed right there. And you can see what's going on there. There's a chart on there. There's some information on there. And you can go over there and enter. And hopefully you will win a T-shirt as well. The old codgers starting to fall behind again. That's primarily due to, I think, Sears. Sears is just getting beaten up.
Sears.
Yeah, Sears beaten up. Beaten up badly, as a matter of fact. But Sears is getting...
So I have a... This is a little inside stuff.
Yeah.
A friend of the family works for Sears now. Mm-hmm. So he gets some inside scoop. And he works in the repair department. Apparently, the way Sears is now doing repairs is they have a two-stage thing. They don't just send some guy out to fix something. They send a guy out. It's like that TV commercial you've seen where the guy comes out and he tells you what's wrong, but he doesn't fix anything.
Right. But the guy, this is the guy with the clipboard that tells you the price.
So this guy comes in and he looks over the thing. He says, well, that's gonna, this, he's fixing that, and he's fixing that, and he's fixing, and he gives you a price, but he doesn't do anything. Even though it could be something he could fix, you know, like a, something simple. A lot of people can't, you know, even turn a screw. No, no. Then he has to go, and then they have to schedule the next guy to come in to actually do the fixing. And apparently that guy never shows up.
Why doesn't he show up?
Well, he just doesn't show up half the time, or he shows up at the wrong time, or he shows up when nobody's there. Who knows? All this guy says is that all they're doing is bitching at him, that they've been trying to, they go, months go by before they can get their equipment fixed.
What's the point of the first guy going out there?
He goes, I guess he's the, I don't know. I don't have all the details.
Is it like an
appeasement? But all I know is that in general, this is what's going on.
Well, maybe that's why they're doing so poorly.
Well, I think it's just a part of a bigger problem. The way I see it, when you see something screwy like this, you have to assume it's an endemic issue throughout the company. Other stuff is screwy too. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a price war brewing at the online brokerage companies. Schwab, out of nowhere, out of the blue, surprised clients and markets last week with a significant reduction in their trading fees. They went from $8.95, which depending on what level you're at with it, but $8.95, which is their base for trading a stock, to $6.95, which is a 22% reduction. And
that's a lot.
Yeah, the rest of the online brokers got like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? And stocks, the Schwab stock sold off, and the, I don't know why, out of nowhere they're doing this. They're trying to get competitive. One of the things that's happening in this industry is that these guys, I was actually in a room when Chuck Schwab said to all of the advisors that were in the room, we will never give advice and we will never compete with advisors. Never. This is, I don't know what year it was, 2000 maybe, or 2001.
Yeah, I remember when he said, that was a very famous thing he did. I remember him doing it.
Well, guess what? They now give advice. And some of it, they have these robo deals, which we don't like how these things work because they're just cookie cutter. We actually are creating one. It's called Investology. And it's going to be live, I believe, March. It's been a couple of months delayed. But essentially what they do is they use these ETFs. They use their own ETFs and they charge you like next to nothing for it. And the reason is you get what you pay for, in my opinion. But aside from that, one of the things is that they use their own ETF, so they get all the money for the management. And they just say, all right, we'll just stick in a bunch of these things and with our fancy computer models, come up with what your allocation should be. It's just, the whole thing is stupid. There's a couple of companies that do this, or several companies that do this. That's just not the way to play, you know, just because they just do it so that they can gather more assets rather than do the right thing for clients. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
Yep. in the last number
and
of
minutes. And this is shocking to you.
No, yeah. Yep, exactly. Former President Obama is spending some time at Richard Branson's private island. I think it's called Mosquito Island or Mosquito Island. He's kite surfing, having some crazy fun with Branson. I want to hang out with Richard Branson. He seems like a cool guy. You ever meet him?
I know people that know him.
Uh-oh. And?
Well, I shouldn't mention anything. Well,
you just said it right there. Just move on, I guess.
Yes, let's move on.
I mean, I guess we get the point, you know? And as much as President Obama is having fun with Richard Branson, it looks like President Trump is not going to be allowed to address the UK Parliament during a state visit to Britain. They said that Theresa May invited him, but there have been calls by lawmakers not to give the president the honor of addressing both houses of parliament after he introduced a ban on people from some majority Muslim countries traveling to the U.S.
Well, I heard I actually may have this clip on the No Agenda show coming up on Thursday. The speaker of the House of Commons, the speaker, the guy who runs the thing, Burkow, he actually said that we are not going to invite him because he's a racist and a sexist, and he said these things, and a xenophobe, and we don't want people like that speaking in front of our group. And this, despite the fact that they had Khrushchev once speak in front of the parliament, and there's a couple other people that are sketchy. I think Brezhnev was another one. But it's okay, whatever they want. It's just all they're doing is offending Americans, or at least they are offending the Americans who voted for Trump.
Yeah. All right, keeping on to the area of England, it seems that a cannabis farm has been discovered inside a cottage on land owned by Legoland Windsor Theme Park.
Great cover.
Yeah, how great is that?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, maybe we'll find a stash of coke over in It's a Small World. But the plants were found during routine checks by park staff on Monday, and it is thought that the building, which is outside the park resort but on the theme park's land, was accessed from nearby land owned by the Queen. What are they insinuating there?
Oh, something's keeping her alive.
By the way, did you watch that Netflix show called the series called The Crown?
No.
It's a Downton Abbey kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. I understand it. Yeah. I have only a limited amount of regular TV viewing that I can accept, and it's based on hours that I've allowed myself to watch stuff. Mm-hmm. That didn't make the cut.
Well, the reason it made the cut for me was there are certain shows that my wife really likes to watch and she likes to watch with me. And even though I am, let's just say, less than thrilled to do so, I pretend she doesn't listen to the show.
You hope.
She doesn't listen to me ever. So what if she's not going to listen to this? She's probably listening live right now. But, you know, you have to, marriage is a compromise, right? So, the Queen show's on, let's watch it. And she's like, oh, my husband likes to watch Downton Abbey and, you know.
You watch Downton Abbey too?
Oh, I watch Downton Abbey, yeah. Oh, yeah. And no, for the folks in the chat room, I don't watch any reality shows. I hate them. Hate them. Ever since I was in Vegas one time and they were taping something and I said, what are you taping there? They said, a reality show. Next thing I heard is, all right, let's do it. Let's take that again. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, let's do it again.
It's a reality show. I don't get it. Two more things real quick.
Well, like the guy who invented them, Burnett says, he hates the name reality show. It's an unscripted drama.
Right. I'll go with that. Well, in San Francisco, your neck of the woods over there, Mayor Ed Lee announced on Monday that the city will be the first in the nation to make City College free for all students, regardless of their income.
Yeah, this is San Francisco City College, which just came within inches about 2 years ago, or maybe last year, of having all of its credentials revoked because it's so mediocre.
You got to wonder who in Ed Lee's family.
So you can go free.
Yeah, I wonder who Ed Lee's family has some kind of a stake in this deal. So the question is, how are they going to pay for it, right? How are they going to pay for it? They're going to tax homeowners.
I guess.
Homeowners with homes valued at $5 million or more will pay higher taxes. Now,
oh, okay.
Here's the stupidity in this. this is going to piss people off, because homeowners with home values of $5 million or more probably are sending their children possibly to private school and probably have the money to pay for college. So they're not going to maybe get used for this. Well, not all of them, but for
taxation for, without representation.
Exactly. It's terrible.
Although I'll tell you this, the $5 million or more in San Francisco, that's about 90% of the houses there.
Mm. Wow. That's a place I'm not moving to so quickly.
Don't move there.
Yeah, not. All right, let's get to the stocks. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's just a simple discussion and a kind of a little thing we do each and every show, coming up with some ideas on what to invest in. And by the way, you get them early if you're listening live. Otherwise, you got to wait a couple hours. Or maybe if you get it on a podcast source of some sort, you have to wait till you actually get it going. But if you're listening live, you get them now. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients, may own any of the stocks that we mentioned, and we'll duly disclose that as well. You can also follow all these stocks over on DH Unplugged. We have a live spreadsheet data stream that gives you what's in, what's out, the amount that's up, what it's down. And there you go. Oh, somebody shorted Skechers in the chat room. Shorten the Skechers. I think they're coming out. I think Skechers is coming out this week with earnings, actually. Gonna watch for that. Mm. Let's look at some of the stocks here. You see that list there? Looking pretty good. Got stopped out of Herbalife, 10% gain. Got stopped out of another bad news on the uranium front. Cameco got stopped out for 4.7% loss. But the rest of the stuff is still doing okay.
Let's see how we're doing it. What happened here? What's Advanced Emission Solutions? It was an insider thing. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, that was last week? Last week. 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Up 16% on an insider thing as our thesis there. That's yours.
Good catch.
Yeah, that was awesome.
John.
Yeah, John. Ding, ding, ding for John C. Dvorak.
Qualcomm. Well, the Qualcomm thing, I thought was a good idea, but it didn't work out.
Not working out so well. The chip
Short
companies
Facebook,
are good, too. Yeah, that's just nowhere.
Retractable's not doing anything either. You got the nukes. That's done.
Yeah.
Trunk Inc., I think, is still... I like where its positions. Might be a good time. That's an insider
deal. Many of the newspapers have been... It definitely could be a buyout candidate. No question about that. It's been discussed. I mean, it's been on the table, so we'll see what happens there.
Your Resolute Energy has done quite well.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I was skeptical and it did very well.
Yep. All right. Well, here's what I have for this week. Very quickly. I said Brinks. I talked about that. Remember that? Brinks. We're going to short Brinks. They're coming out with
Brinks. The armored truck guys.
Yep. The thesis that earnings are coming out and they may be obsolete because who's using cash? But a little bit of a thin thesis here, but we'll play it because it's a game,
very
by the way.
Thin.
It's a game. And Calavo Growers. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the Discipline Investor podcast, actually. Very good company. They sell avocados, tomatoes.
Yeah, I've seen their product. They sell lots of those avocados here in the Berkeley area.
Yep. And one of the problems they've been having, the stock is down about 20% from the recent high, is that they have three or four plants and manufacturing facilities and farms in Mexico. So they're having some trouble with the thought that, wait a minute, is it going to be a border tax on an avocado? And what's the problem with, in the Mexico peso's gone down?
Let's hope not, because some of the stuff these guys bring in, these Mexican growers, is off-season stuff that we can't get during the time of year when, you know, we can get California avocados. They're great, but they're not all year round.
Well, I'm hoping that there is a avocado god out there that even if we get this border tax, it will be one of the things that will be excluded. Actually, if you think about that for a second, just for a moment. It would be kind of a wise idea to exclude any, let's call it, food or perishable products from another country, because otherwise we'd have to pay more for baseline goods. That would be a smart
thing.
Right,
we don't want to pay more for our food.
Right, that would be a smart thing, and avocados are a necessity.
Yeah, if you're addicted to guacamole.
Yeah. What do you got?
I just had a good avocado today.
You did?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was from Mexico. Hmm. I haven't really got anything strong. I'll put something on the list.
Yeah.
Because it's trending. It's going up. It's headed back to where it had a falling knife effect recently. This chart is funny. It just dropped like a rock, and then it's been rebuilding and rebuilding, which is Macquarie Infrastructure Corporation, symbol MIC.
MIC. Going long.
Yeah, I'm going long because, whoops, if I don't get this right page here, I'll tell you why I'm going long. I'm going long because the CEO is buying. CEO. They only bought $1 million worth, but, you know, it's little companies. They don't, these guys don't have that much money to throw away. James Hook. Now, CEOs, I've been thinking about, I've been refining my insider buying models. And I'm not a big fan. I don't think the CEO necessarily is the guy you want to follow. I think it's usually the other directors who are trying to make money.
You want to follow the CFO who knows all the finances.
The CFO, yes, definitely. If a CFO is buying stock, then I would absolutely buy the stock. But this is the CEO. And so the CEO, you know, you never know. The guy could be loaded to the point where he's just picking up some stock because he sees it going heading back up. But I think he sees it heading back up. And I believe it will go up. And it will continue to go up.
Hmm. Well, that's good enough for me. Anything else?
It's good enough for me. No, I'm starting to look for shorts. I don't believe this. I've been reading too many things about these guys who are skeptical of this market. And it needs a correction of some sort.
Yeah. Actually, in one of our algorithmic strategies called the Arrow strategy that we run here for clients. And by the way, anybody that wants to check out the strategies, go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and check out all the different strategies that we have for managing client money. One of them is called the Arrow strategy, which is an algorithmic strategy that we built, basically that looks for oversold, overbought, and trending situations. Well, yesterday and today, we hit one of the highest numbers in terms of a score on an overbought situation since June of 2014.
Oh.
Now, that doesn't
mean that would indicate a little correction.
Yep. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that there is this situation going on that's going to be a major correction. But, you know, you're seeing the things, the very nature of the market, it's due for something, it would seem. It would seem.
I'm all in on that idea.
Yeah.
These things, I think, are going to peak here shortly.
Well, we're going to end it there. As we have mentioned before, you need to make sure to follow John C. Dvorak over on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. Listen to No Agenda. If you haven't ever listened to No Agenda before, you have to do so. As a matter of fact, I find myself, just to let you know, I find myself tuning in on my phone. I put the earphones in and I, on Sundays, listening to all the deconstruction of all the crazy news that's out there between you two. It's not only funny, but it's informative. So wonderful show, great sound effects, jingles. Actually, Adam, I was talking to Adam. You know how Adam, everything that goes on, he throws a jingle out about it, right, on the show?
He's good, yeah.
Right, no, but I'm saying this, everything has like a jingle, something is a jingle.
We have a lot of jingles that we use them judiciously.
Let me tell you how into these jingles he is. I was texting with him a bunch of stuff the other night, and in the middle of the texting, he sent a jingle over. I'm not kidding.
That's funny.
He loves those jingles. It was a Trump is president jingle or something like that. Anyway.
Well, that's actually a good one.
Yeah, it's a really good one. He said I should make it a ringtone. But anyway, you can go over to dhunplugged.com and find out all the information that's on the show. And of course, 9 o'clock on Tuesdays, we'll be live. Other than that, I think that's a pretty much, I would say, a wrap, don't you think?
Yep, I'm good.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.